Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 356 of Mike White's podcast. Way too early in the week to have any useful information about the game at the weekend, but still, I'm Jack. I'm joined as always by Casey.
What is up?
This is a really stupid time of the week to be doing this, but it's the only gap we've got all week, so it's going to have to be now. How's things, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. How about you?
Yeah, all good. I'm still knackered because of our impromptu trip to Wembley.
Yeah, I mean, I woke up on Friday morning not at all thinking I was going to go to an England game. And yeah, there I was.
Yeah, shout out Al. came into some free tickets, couldn't go himself, so we ended up with him. Which was, let's be right, the only way we were ever going to go. I have no idea how much tickets were to that game, but if they were 60 quid, they were overpriced by 70.
Yeah, the attendance of 80,000 that was announced, I feel, was somewhat inflated as well.
I reckon by full time it was 35.
Yeah. My only assumption is that it must have been quite cheap to go, because I think there was loads of people leaving immediately after the goal. And that's with about 15 minutes left.
Yeah. I think that there was a lot of freebies knocking about as well, because, I mean, obviously we're all going to be in the same section, but it wasn't like there was a few of us. There was a lot of people there on a freebie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. I think kind of listening to, like, there was a couple of women next to me who I think similar to us treated this more of a social, like, oh, let's go out, but instead of we're going to Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, that is so, sort of what we were. We had a really good, nice trip with the boys.
Yeah. Like, I was speaking to my dad about it. He's like, ah, it's a shame the game couldn't have been better for you. And I said, no, don't worry. We knew the game wasn't going to be good going in. If I felt that way, I'd have been really disappointed by it. But the fact I knew it was going to be a poor game made it fine.
Yeah, so one apiece. Ben White scores. Ben White gives away the penalty. Ben White
gets booed.
Yeah, for disrespecting Bielsa. Shout out Joe Donahue. from the Leeds, those are the two Leeds angles, the things to talk about. It didn't feel massively Bielsa outside of the, you know, being one shot at each end. Mm. You know, one up in defence, one shot at the formations did, but they weren't, it wasn't like massively feeling like rash, 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 every man on every man all over the pitch.
It felt like assault. That's what it felt like at times.
Yeah, we thought that was it a row on, was it a row on Foden, the really bad tackle? That in the ground looked like a really hefty one, but apparently, and I haven't seen it replay back, apparently it was a pretty awful challenge. Oh, and I have seen it back. I know that they have given that first yellow card to Jimenez in the official stats. Yeah. But it was you in the ground on it going, he's definitely booked Ugarte twice.
Yeah.
And I mean, he did. I saw it back afterwards. Because I was like, yeah, I think you're right, but we must be wrong. We just must be.
I mean, the ref tried for a very long time to just not book anyone, which I know it's a friendly, but someone probably should have told that to Uruguay. It was the thing that has been spoken about, is that, yeah, we've got Bielsa, yeah, he wants to play nice football, but as a nation, we do enjoy it when we just turn up and boot people all over the pitch.
Yeah.
And so they did, and fair play to them. The Uruguay fans seem to have a really good time in that corner.
Yeah, it says a lot about the lack of stress on a friendly, but when they scored at the end and all the celebrations went up, I did legitimately look to my left and go, ah, good for you. Yeah. I hope you're having a nice time. And I hope Bielsa had the nicest time. It was really nice looking around the ground and just going, oh, Leeds Bielsa flag. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. There's fucking loads. Like, we didn't run into anyone, but I have since seen that, like, Steve, that I work with, who some of you may know off Twitter, Lilo Man, if you're looking around, he was at the game there was quite a few Leeds fans that I know that it turns out were at the game. Didn't say Berkey were down there as well.
Yeah,
we didn't run into anyone, but there was quite a few people we know down there.
We'll say Lilo Man is a name that I haven't heard for a while.
Yeah, you met him a long time ago. It was like the first square ball like night out thing, wasn't it?
I think when
When we were like 18, 19, when we were like 18 or 19.
Oh, so fresh faced. Yeah. I think there was enough of us that if we'd have tried, we probably could have got a Marcelo Bielsa chant going.
Yeah, it would have been faint, but there was probably enough people there that like, were of a Leeds persuasion.
It's Alex, who we also travelled with, he got talking to a Spurs fan next to him who was very pessimistic about the rest of their season.
Yeah. Since then, Tudor has gone, by the way. We should probably mention Tudor that later.
Tudor has gone, and they are trying to get De Zerbi, who is an interesting choice, given, one, first and foremost, some of his comments.
Yeah.
Problematic.
To use a phrase that the Career We Go lads use a lot, in that case, shout out to Amo, bloke.
Yeah. Yeah. And secondly, and if you're a Spurs fan, probably more importantly, an interesting style of football to try and implement with 7 games left of your season.
Yeah. Have you seen the quotes from Lewis Dunk floating about?
No.
It's about when he first took over from Potter.
Mm.
And he's basically saying the first 2 weeks were absolute carnage. Like, we'd gone from playing one way to him trying to do this completely different thing. And you were just sort of waiting. Now, one thing is, his English is probably better by now.
Mm.
But he's like, you know, it would go on a long tirade and no one had a clue what he said. And then you'd basically just be listening to the translator open, you can put it together. And, you know, eventually it came round and they did turn into a pretty decent side. But it was like that first 2 weeks. The one thing is, because they're already out of the cup, aren't they?
Yes.
So they won't have a game until for 2 weeks yet, basically.
Mm.
Which is why I suppose everyone was like, well, if you're going to do it, you've got to do it now. We could probably do with them actually getting De Zerbi, but not getting him confirmed for another week.
Yeah, well, he seems a bit reticent to take the job at the moment, which I can understand why, given the predicament. I assume at some point there is an amount of money that will make him go, go on then.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, I think his feeling was, I would rather take it in the summer. Or if you're in the Championship, just not at all.
I suppose there's probably an amount of money where he's like, it'll need to be a big enough amount of money where he's thinking, I'll take a 30% drop if we go down in the Championship and I might stay.
Hmm.
But he'll still be on massive Premier League money even with that drop.
Yeah.
He's got him over a barrel. He can ask for basically whatever he wants and he'll get it. If that's who they want.
Yeah. But it'll be an interesting one, because obviously I think a lot of the thing was, and especially now seeing that Roy Hodgson has come back into management, there's a little bit you thought, do they go to Harry Redknapp and say, can you just play some five-a-side with these lads and get them going?
Look, I'm not saying it's a good idea. It's just there are worse ideas. It reminds me of us getting Allardyce, where we were like, look, I don't want Allardyce, but if you're asking me, gun to my head, Allardyce or like Graffier, who's more likely to keep you up?
Yeah.
And we were like, well, probably Allardyce if those are the options, but I don't like either option.
Yeah. Give me the gun.
Yeah, so it sounds like they're in a bit of that situation at the minute, but like, it would not shock me if it does end up being, there's a reason Redknapp's like third fav.
Yeah.
Because like everyone can see a world where that happens. Hopefully it's all a disaster and they don't win another game all season.
Yeah.
In fact, hopefully they don't win another game all season and on the last day they're still in it, because West Ham also haven't won a game all season.
That would be ideal.
And we're just okay.
One of those is more likely than the other.
Yeah. It was nice to see Marcelo anyway.
It was quite nice seeing that handful of Leeds fans temporarily blocking in the coach. to sing at him while he sat there looking a bit sheepish, as only he can.
He's too pure for this world.
Yeah, he's too good for us.
Yeah, the only other Leeds thing to talk about is what did you think of DCL and his? It was a bit longer than a cameo, wasn't it? It was like
you got
half an hour.
30, yeah. The miss is probably what you end up taking away from that. Yeah. It's the header wide that he probably should have scored.
He definitely should have scored.
we got talking to certainly one of them in front of us was a Man United fan. I'm not sure if it was both of them.
Yeah.
But we're saying, you guys must be shocked he's missed that. We're like, no, he's done that quite frequently.
Yeah, we like him, but he does have that in his locker. He's got the Bamford gene, and he can play really well, but there's always that miss in there.
Yeah. I don't know whether he got some sort of touch in the build-up to Ben White's goal. To be honest, I've not gone back and watched the replay.
No.
But he was certainly there.
Yeah, he won a couple of flick-ons.
And he's not now.
No, and to be honest, gun to my head, I don't think there's any chance he's in the squad for the actual World Cup.
Mm.
I think even though he hasn't been in this one, I think Watkins will probably end up above him in the pecking order. Even though he hasn't been picked for this squad, I still think Welbeck probably would be.
I mean, Danny Welbeck is of the non-Harry Canes, is the best performing English striker.
Yeah.
I know he's 35, but if you're taking a 26-man squad, I'd definitely have him there as a third choice striker. Yeah.
But like selfishly from a Leeds perspective, I'm glad Calvert-Lewin's come back. Get your send rested up, lad. I'm glad that you've got back. I'm glad you've got another England cap. I'm glad I was there to see it. But focus on the relegations. But Leeds do not have to focus on that immediately, because this weekend is the FA Cup. And
we're back
in Pog form. Yeah, we're the last ones to play. Are all the other ones Saturday? Yeah, the other three are Saturday. You've got Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Port, Southampton, Arsenal. I mean, you have to assume that Arsenal and Chelsea are getting through.
Yeah. You're kind of hoping that... I think at this stage of the competition, you're sort of hoping that a couple of the lower teams get grouped together, so it'd be... You know, there's always one of them progressing.
Yeah, if it had been Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Port Vale, Southampton.
Yeah.
And then we've got West Ham, you're like, all right, well, there's a chance that you're semi-final.
That we lose to Port Vale.
Yeah, but that'd be so Leeds. It'd be funny. Oh, no, it wouldn't be funny, because we'd have spent 100 odd quid to go watch it, probably.
Yeah.
Who have you got? Man City v Liverpool.
I think I really don't know. It's two very inconsistent teams. Like good, but still inconsistent.
I based on how they played against Arsenal in the League Cup final, I think Man City will win that fairly comfortably.
You got to think now. I know they've won the League Cup. Liverpool are still in the Champions League. You've got to think Man City are going to put a lot into, right, sod it, let's win the FA Cup then.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we're away at West Ham Sunday, 4:30. Obviously, we're way too early. Like, you know, Stack's been on international duty. We've got a few away. Goodmanson went off injured, but by all accounts, he should be all right. Like, they play Poland tonight, don't they? Like, winner goes to the World Cup. So hopefully, like, I mean, all the predicted lineups and all the news about it still has him in the side, so I think he's okay.
Yeah.
First of all, do you think we are going full on full ball team for this?
I have a suspicion he's going to stick with the rotated team. I know that we've had some time off. A number of those players haven't played. And
we do crucially have 8 days after
it. Yeah.
Because we play Scum on the Monday night.
But I think I could see one or two, like it being one or two less changes. But obviously, if he's fit, Goodmanson's going to play.
Yeah, because Rengo, I mean, it's him or Justin.
Yeah.
Like the one thing I do, like I do think Perry will play.
Yeah, I think Perry comes in. I think you bring in. I was going to say Cradle, not Cradle. I think you bring in Nonto and James.
Yeah, that's one to mention. Look, I hope it doesn't happen again. But when Wales got beat on penalties in a playoff 2 years ago, I mean, it really had a knock-on effect on Leeds.
Mm.
They all came back and looked like they all had the shit beat out of them. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen again.
Well, I'm hoping between the Wales and the Leeds disappointments that they're, I'm not going to say made of stronger stuff, but they've just become more resigned to, this is what it's like when you play for Leeds and Wales. Yeah. So it's just how it goes. But yeah, I can see, because you've still got players like Longstaff who probably need to get some minutes in.
Yeah.
So I still think you'll see a few changes. It might be one or two less. I think Metcher ends up starting as your starting centre forward.
Yeah, I do wonder if, like, for instance, maybe Longstaff plays instead of Stack because Longstaff's been there training.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how much difference that'll make. I mean, he may well, given the length of the break, he's probably given a lot of the players a few days off anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you'll have still had a decent handful of them still there.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. Obviously, Sam Byram.
Yeah.
You've
got like Metcher, Longstaff. Nonto didn't weirdly go away with 21s despite being older than that and stuff, did he this time? So.
No, I don't.
I think he's done in that cycle now.
Yeah. And then you've got Justin, Strauch. You've got all your goalkeepers didn't travel.
Well, no,
Carl
Darlow, who made an absolute wonder save for Wales, like one of the best saves I've ever seen him make, and then came for a corner and got nowhere near it. And he was just like, yeah, that is why I'm perfectly happy for you to be the second choice goalkeeper. You are good to a point.
Yeah. I can't see him. I don't see him being the type. I will say, so one thing I found quite interesting to listen to as on a cup-related tangent was the talk of Arsenal putting Kepa in for the League Cup final and the talk around, well, why would you do that for the Cup final? And it seems to be this massive talking point. And I get it. Like, I'm not a fan of Kepa. I think he is an average goalkeeper. But there was just this talk of like, why would you do this? Why would you make this choice now? I'm like, well, he's played every round in the cup. Do you not think he's potentially got either something in his contract?
I doubt it's like in his contract. But you know, on Football Manager now, one of the roles is cup goalkeeper.
Well, because the other side
I think that's what he is. He's the cup goalkeeper.
And the other side of it was, I just thought, well, if you play that game and look, it's Kepa, he has an error in him, clearly. If they win that, it's not a talking point then. But I just thought, well, surely if this is what he's been brought in to do, is to play in these cup games, and then you decide in the final that you don't, and then you lose that game. Like, the belief in you as a manager for making that change when you've gone, no, this is my cup goal kit, except now. Like, I think it undermines you as well.
Well,
so
didn't Wenger do it once? He, like, played a second-choice keeper all the way through and then played Seaman in the final.
Hmm.
Like, Wenger did it once for Arsenal, and it, like, they got beat and it caused a little bit of a risk. And then a few years later, he did the opposite because the kids got him all the way to the final and they played Chelsea.
Yeah.
And he just played and he kept them all in for the final.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, that I might have the wrong years, but it was like Francis Coquelin and people like that all playing the final.
Oh no, I think it's better. I think we're talking sort of prime. I think it's the era that Julio Baptiste is there. It's around that. It's sort of 06, 07 ish. When John Terry gets his head kicks off.
Oh, by, was that Abu Dhabi?
I believe so, yeah. And do you know what? Excellent work, Abu Dhabi. Well done.
He's a big what if player, isn't he?
So was quite a lot of that Arsenal team. You know, him, Arturo Lupoli, Nicholas Bentner. We'll never know what they all could have gone on to do, apart from Nicholas Bentner. But that was a brief aside on that one. But
yeah,
in summary, Lucas Perry will be back in goal.
Yeah, I think Perry will play. But other than that, I think he'll go pretty strong. I think he'll basically pick a first team for this.
Well, just looking at West Ham's team from the Brentford game, there seems to be the core of the first team with a few changes around it. So, and again, some of this could be down to fitness. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, but I mean, for the last league game, didn't they play like, I mean, like their midfield didn't look overly strong. It was like Potts and it wasn't the best midfield. Yeah, it was Potts, Souček and Matheus Fernandes. Now, Matheus Fernandes has been really good this season. Souček is a really good player, but he isn't what he was 2 years ago.
Hmm.
So, and then they played Bowen, that Pablo on each wing and Castellanos up front.
Yeah. And sort of looking here as well, it's like Scales at left back, Walker Peters at right back. One of their centre backs pulled out injured at the last minute in their game against Villa, didn't they?
Yeah, which they played Mavropanos and Disasi.
Yeah, because they were forced to, because they had been playing a three, hadn't they? And I think who would it have been now? Would it be Kilman?
Yeah, Kilman was on the bench. I think he's just getting back from injury.
Hmm. But yeah, so obviously they had to rotate around a little bit.
That Castellanos, from what I've seen of him, looks pretty decent. Like, not a world beater, but he puts himself about. As I'm assuming we're playing a back three, I would think we'd have enough to handle him. I'm always more worried about wingers against our system.
Yeah.
And, like, if Somerville is fit, like, the idea of Bowen and Somerville is quite scary.
Yeah. It was Todibo that pulled out. Because he had been playing as part of that back three. I think my big hope is, let's just have a look at their team, sorry. Is that, yeah, Crescencio Somerville can remain injured.
Yeah, I mean,
ideally for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Like, they've got other options. Like, obviously, they've still got Callum Wilson, who didn't end up leaving, even though it really looked like he was going to. Adama Traore, who I know technically isn't that good, but there's no substitute for just being that fast.
Mm.
So he can always cause issues. I still quite what I've seen of him, and he probably won't start this, but that Mahamadou Kanté, that young lad, I think he's number 55, he's like massive.
Yeah.
And he's looked really good whenever I've seen him. I think he looks like someone who could do with getting relegated to the Championship and then playing loads, is what he looks like.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like him and I think Potts is probably the same. Like, I think a good year, you know, a proper season of first team football at that level will probably do them both a bit of good. I quite like that Freddie Potts from what I've seen of him, but it's always a tough I think environment to sort of develop in, is when you're in a relegation battle.
When I've watched Potts play, I haven't noticed him as much.
Hmm.
To be honest, as I did with Kanté when he played. I'm wanting us to go. Better to go for this, to be honest. Obviously, it would have been really nice if we'd have picked up a few more points, not got fucked over by referees and stuff as we have done the last few weeks, where you can go, right, yeah, we can definitely go for it. But I think we're in a better position than West Ham are. So if one team's going to rotate, you'd think they're more likely than us.
Yeah.
But they are also at home. And will be, like, you know, they will be although not by loads, they're favourites for this. They will want, they'll be favourites to get to an FA Cup semi-final. You can't really throw that away unless you're Fulham.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking back now. Since January, right? Since sort of mid-January, they've been playing a lot better. And have picked up some decent points. Obviously, in our case, you look at when they're picking up a point against Man City is very frustrating.
Yeah.
But
I watched that game. That was the one where West Ham had one shot in the entire game, which was their one shot on target, which was from their one corner.
Yeah.
Mavropanos scored.
But they, I think they're playing with a lot more confidence at the moment. And I think they seem to properly get their own system now.
Yeah.
Again, in the nicest possible ways, if Todibo and Somerville can stay injured for a while, it would be ideal. Mm. But yeah, like you say, them playing at home, the pressure will be on them. So hopefully we can just go there and grind out a 1-0 win.
Yeah, like they might well rotate the goalkeepers, but there's not a great deal between Areola and Hermansson anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so it doesn't make too much difference. Obviously, I'd say them at set pieces is pretty strong. So we'll have to watch out for that. If we go all out, it's definitely winnable, but we'll just have to see where we are. We'll have a stab at a team. Are we going to do predictions today with us being so far off, or because I haven't got them off anyone else yet?
Let's do them. We'll get them out Friday.
I'll just stick them out on Twitter later. But yeah, I think it'll be Perry in goal, because I think whoever isn't the first choice goalkeeper is going to play up these. And we'll, if we get to the semis and the final, we'll see if that sticks. Then it might change. But I think Perry, Bogle, Roden, Beall, Strauch, Goodmanson. I think he'll pick the full-on back five.
I could see Justin coming in for either Bogle or Roden.
I can't see him dropping Roden. I think if he drops one, it'll be Beall, which I disagree with, but I think if he's going to drop one of the centre-backs and play Justin right centre-back, I think if he's going to, it'll be Beall. But yeah. I don't want him to do that. Again, I just said I'm scared of their set piece for it. I want all three of them centre-halves in there.
Yeah, fair.
But I could see him doing it. Mm. But I definitely think it will be a five. Midfield, do you think he'll go back to Ampadu Gruev? Or do you think he'll pick Ampadu Stack? Or do you think he'll maybe pick Tanaka? Like, if Tanaka has a good game against England tonight, that could help.
I think you're right in as much as it's Ampadu.
Yeah, it's always Ampadu.
Again, like you say, it could be Longstaff. He's been away this whole time. Although he has had that thing recently of same as what he's been doing with Stack, where he's been bringing on Longstaff, who's been playing nominally as the right winger.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's Ampadu Gruev.
Yeah. I hope it's Ampadu Stack, but I think it'll be Ampadu Gruev.
I would like it to be Ampadu Tanaka.
Yeah. And then I think it'll be Alanson, Calvert-Lewin, Okafor.
Oof.
I think, well, Okafor, there's the thing. Did Okafor get any minutes for Switzerland, do we know?
I don't know.
I didn't see anyone talking about it on Twitter, which leads me... Which leads me to think no.
Was he a late call-up?
Yeah.
I think he replaced someone, didn't he?
Because they played the same night as England, didn't they? Because they got beat 4-3 by Germany. Because Stack did get on for Goretzka.
But
team.
Just while subs,
no Okafor.
Okay.
He didn't play. He was on the bench, but he didn't play. And they made 10 changes, like 10 subs.
Yeah. So their left winger played a full 90.
Yeah. It would have been interesting if they'd brought him on for Gregor Kobel.
I think it's James Nonto Metcher.
Right. That's like that is the safer thing to do with the league games coming up. But I'm sticking with the thing that I said in the third round. Make all the changes you want. If you get to the quarterfinal, you have to start taking it seriously.
I think my only concern is if you play a game like this where even if you win, if Ampadu, Roden, Calvert-Lewin, if one of them picks up an injury, I do just look and think, it's a bit stupid now.
Yeah, I mean, if I remember rightly, like Somerville's injury for West Ham was in the last round of the cup.
Yeah.
And even though they got through, there must have been a load of them thinking, oh, why did we bother?
Yeah, like it's that catch-22 you're in, certainly as a fan of just like, look, I've seen us in the league. It's great. I'm not entirely a fan of the Premier League. It would be quite nice to win a trophy. Mm. Even if we did get relegated. But at the same time, yeah, if Calvert-Lewin picked up an injury, I'd be like, well, why have you played him?
Yeah.
That's really stupid.
But I think we will. I think he's gonna have a go. Because like it's not like Farker's won loads of things either. And we are now close enough where it's a chance. It's a very long shot with the team still in it, but it's a chance. So yeah, I want to go for it. And I've got in my head us like squeaking through in extra time because I've had this theory for a while that we're going to get to the semi-finals so we can get battered by Arsenal and cost us a load of money going to watch it. Like that, that's what I've said is going to happen for a while.
Yeah.
But it should be a good game. It should be a really, especially by the standards of West Ham's new ground, it should be a pretty good atmosphere. Because you'd think they'll be well up for it. I mean, they've given, the Leeds have got, 9,000 tickets at £15 a piece.
Yeah.
You would think that there'll be a lot of getting down there early. Having a few bit, you'd expect it to be a good away end.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, obviously, with it being Easter Sunday, the travel service is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. So, and obviously, you can just stay over. It's not like there'll be expensive hotels on a bank holiday weekend in London.
Yeah. So I'd imagine there's going to be a boatload of coaches making that journey down. But yeah, I think it should be a good atmosphere. Whether the microphones will actually pick any of it up, I don't know. Whether you'll be able to see much of the game, I don't know. But it's a really good chance at this point to go do something that it'd be really weird to be able to say that who are the two managers who've won the FA Cup with Leeds? Yeah, it's Don Revie and Daniel Farker.
Yeah, it'd be a nice thing to have one interview to say something like that. I don't think it'll happen, but you never know. And yeah. I also, just to be on the record, I hate that the FA Cup semi-finals are at Wembley.
That's really stupid.
Yeah. Neutral ground, absolutely. But shouldn't be at Wembley. I mean, you know, I liked them being just at big club grounds, and there's even more options for it now. Because there's been a load of new stadiums and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, it went before.
Like, I know it's not in England, but like, I wouldn't mind if it was at the Millennium.
Ooh, well, as controversial as that, yeah.
Like, I, to be honest, I mean, it really wouldn't work, but I wouldn't mind him being at, like, Hampden or stuff like that, just not Wembley.
Oh, why don't we just have the FA Cup semi-finals in the USA?
In Qatar. Yeah. No, like, I would do, like...
Talk to you, future boy.
You know, you could... Old Trafford or City of Manchester or St. James's Park or... There's plenty of big enough grounds now. I mean, how many does Everton's new one hold?
Is that 50-odd thousand?
Yeah. You want some in the north, and they should...
I would argue that the game should be played... Essentially, you draw a line as the crow flies between the two teams, and you say, look, this is a solid middle point. What's the closest stadium to the halfway point? I would say what minimum has to be 50,000.
Yeah. And so then you hope that it's not Leeds v Huddersfield.
We're off to Valley Parade. But yeah, like I certainly think that, because it should mean something to go to Wembley. Mm. Like, no one's putting their arm around their son going, son, I played in a Wembley semi-final.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Port Vale player, then you know what? Fair.
Yeah, fair. Like, if you were in that... If you'd have been in that Chesterfield team, if the semi-finals had been at Wembley, it would have been fair to talk about.
I do like the idea with the Port Vale one. Like, you went to Wembley? Did you win the league that year? No, son, we got relegated.
Wow, you got relegated from the Premier League and got to the oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no, League One. So, what? But, yeah. I've got memories of, I think my kind of memories of FA Cup semi-finals are pretty much Villa Park.
For the most part, they are the more memorable ones, aren't they?
Yeah. Other stadiums are available, but that's the one I go to in my head.
Yeah. It was weird that it was always Villa Park. Because, like, it's not, there were bigger ones then as well.
Yeah, but the problem was the teams playing in those semi-finals were the big teams.
Yeah.
And they couldn't be at home. But yeah, like you say, the idea that you can use... I mean, Anfield's above 50,000 now, isn't it? So like,
well above,
even,
yeah.
Even
so
just
it might even be 60.
So even just in the Northwest, you have four stadiums that could potentially do it.
Yeah.
St. James's Park would be fine. Ellen yeah. Road...
Oh, by the way, you may have seen this morning that... they've sold St. James's Park.
Is it to themselves?
To themselves, yeah.
Did they get a good fee for it?
Oh, yeah, they got a really good price. Yeah.
It's worth $3 billion. But yeah, like there is loads of stadiums that could do it and absolutely should. So, dear FA, fuck off with your Wembley semi-finals.
Yeah. I know that you're doing it for the money, but like just... have some decorum.
Yeah.
yeah, so hopefully we can get through and we'll then see where we are, because after that it's Scum away on a Monday night.
Yay.
Which isn't terrifying at all. Hopefully with us being Monday, it's like the even where if they all get beat before, we can go in fairly relaxed.
That's not going to happen, though, is it?
No, it's not. It's not even nearly going to happen. Harry Redknapp's Spurs are going to win 4-0. Really, put the mockers on us.
Yeah. I hate football.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, that'll do us for episode 356 of Mike White's podcast. I'm not sure when we'll be back, probably after the FA Cup game. I severely doubt that we'll... It takes something big happening for us to be on before. So I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.